during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And this week, we've got a guest that I am probably the most excited about to have. He's the first guest that we've had on the show that is not already a Dome Patrol participant or someone that I've known for a long time. But when I started looking outside of our universe, for a guest to come on the show, he was the first name that came to mind. From Hold the Mayo, we've got Devin Snow. Devin, what's up, man?
Not a lot, man. I can't call a cat's ass. What's going on, my brother?
Oh, dude, we're getting ready for that Thanksgiving tomorrow. I made the mistake of going to the grocery store. This is like the day before Thanksgiving is the worst grocery store day of the year. And I'm cursing out old ladies, and you know I'm getting in arguments with motherfuckers at the post office. It's a Wednesday, you know what I mean?
Tensions are rising here. I was at Martin Wine Cellar this morning, and I could just feel it. The lady that was next to me by the cold cuts, I was like, sweetheart, I'm just trying to get some cold cuts. I'm not trying to take, you know, your cornbread stuffing or anything like that.
Right. Well, there's that adage. There's that adage, like, you know, you go here and the person you meet at the newsstand's an asshole, and then you get on the bus and the bus driver's an asshole, and then you know. Yeah, but today I feel like they're all assholes. It's not
everybody.
You know what I mean? It's not. Yeah. I'm not the asshole today. I think everybody else is.
They would call us both assholes as fuck. No doubt about it.
Yeah, man. Well, look, this guy. Like I said, for those of you that don't know, Hold the Mayo. This guy's legit. And basically, you've committed yourself full time to this. You've been at it really less than a year, right?
Yeah. I established it. Actually, June 11th, 2019, I was a month away, and I didn't know at the time, from getting a promotion at Lamarck Ford. I was in the car business for 5 years.
I was in for a dozen, so you and I have that in common.
Yeah, man, and I loved it. Just like, you know, most people who do well, I feel like, you know, they love the fucking car business, you know, once they see the success and everything like that. And, man, I was just, like, so settled with it, man, and I'm looking back and stuff. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because it definitely primed me so many ways for what I do now. But, you know, around that May 2019 mark, you know, I just started kind of like not giving a fuck. I was kind of fed up with like seeing people's faces every day and doing that whole sales thing. And I felt like I was really kind of just settling my life, man, dead ass serious. And I just started making videos kind of like venting on that. And that's when it kind of all started.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, and really, you know, in a very, very short period of time, I think you're the best independent unsigned talent in the New Orleans market. And I think that at what we do, like, I don't, you know, there's a category for what we do. Dude, you were mentioned on the number one most downloaded sports podcast in the world for fucking 2 minutes this week. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, you're doing something right, man. That's the point. I don't want to get my nose too brown here, you know, but I mean, like, when it came down to having somebody on, I think you're probably the most talented person in the market, and I think that you're definitely the hardest damn working man in the market. You know, if you go to Hold the Mayo on Facebook, Devin's got shows on Friday nights, Sunday, Wednesday. You go to htmsports.com. There's blogs there. You follow them on at htmsports on Twitter, and also at htmundressed on Twitter. You're gonna see that. And then if you just want to catch audio versions of all of his shows, all your major pod apps, you're going to search for HTM Sports. Did I get that part right?
Yeah, you can search HTM Sports, or if you just really want to go like straight to the source, HTM Undressed, that's what the podcast is called. But it's presented by HTM Sports. It'll both come up, no doubt about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, real quick, man, I appreciate the kind words. I really do. I'm one that definitely I vent how, because I mean, dude, I risked my whole life to do this. You know, I vent how underrated I feel. I don't think that, you know, that I'm not underrated. I think I'm underrated as fuck. And I've been on that constantly, and it's nice to hear people like see the whole bag, you know, because some people only see me talking shit on a video maybe every now and then.
But right.
So people who see the whole bag, man, I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Now, your show's got like its own universe. You know what I mean? Like I tune in live when I can, and then I just catch the others on pod apps. But like your Friday night show is fucking hilarious off the rails. You got guys that come on and they rap over, they call it spitting bars. They rap over music, and then you play Name That Tune with like three radio friendly songs, and no one could ever fucking guess any songs.
It's fun, man.
You got a whole, you know what it reminds me of? And tell me, I know I've got about a dozen years on you. It kind of, in a way, it kind of reminds me of like when Buddy D used to do the show on WWL, mm-hmm. you know, every night, and he had like personalities. And your show has its own universe. It has its own like people that come in week after week, and they've got their own personalities. And it reminds me of like when Buddy D was doing that. Reminds me of any good media show. Like it takes on a life of its own. It takes on its own universe. So if you have not yet checked out Hold the Mayo, you got to go check out Hold the Mayo. It's just awesome.
I think that's what, you know, and that's what kind of inspired me to do it. You know, a couple of things happened, but really the one thing was I felt that there was a huge void in our local New Orleans market just for that exact type of thing, like what you just said. Like when I think of a show like that, you know, I think of Howard Stern. You know, I grew up as a kid, and my stepdad had Howard Stern on in the truck bringing me to school. And, you know, he would have several different personalities. You know, you had Robin Quivers. You had, you know, the guy Beetlejuice. That was always, and it was so entertaining. And it's like, dude, nobody's done that ever since.
No. And there's definitely a void in the New Orleans market, man. What we have to deal with the professional broadcasters, I'm not the biggest fan of, you know.
I got my guys that I love, man. You know, like, dude, I said it on Sunday. I fucking love Bobby Abad, bro. He just always says, it's just every time I put it on, he always says something that I am literally feeling, dude.
Yeah. He gets it out. He's drunk, man. He's drunk. He's but he gets it through.
No doubt.
He gets it through. Well, look, like I said, you got one of those go-get life personalities. You strike me as a guy who's like, you know what? I want something. I'm going to go get it. That's the kind of people that I try to, gravitate towards. I like to try and pick winners in sports. I like to try and pick winners in life. I'm very, very honored to have you on. I've got a couple questions. First off, and I've been listening for a while, and I've been listening to the podcast. Where did Hold the Mayo come from? You're not a fan of mayonnaise, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not a fan of mayonnaise. That definitely factored into it. But more or less, you know, when in that same May time when I was picking around names to do what I thought I was gonna. Man, this has all turned into something completely kind of different than what I kind of had in mind, you know.
Right.
Anyway, it's like hold the phone. It's like, hold on, let me get a word in. That's what it was. Obviously, I can never run from the condiment displeasure.
I love mayo.
Dude, I fucking had the worst experience when I was a kid, dude. I'll never forget it.
It's like I think as white people, I thought we were obligated to love mayonnaise.
Well, I feel like everybody thinks a white person likes mayonnaise, but they ain't mad me.
Now, another feature on your show, you're a big fan, dude. You go out all around the New Orleans metro area and you check out red beans, right?
Tradition, man.
And you dude, the way you list it is pretty gracious in that, like, you're like, these are all the, you know, these are the places, this is who's got the best red beans?
I mean, to be honest with you, my personal favorite, I love Cuda Brown's, man. There's something about that place where it feels like you could walk in there butt-ass naked and get a bowl of red beans and rice, and you're going to have a phenomenal time.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cuda Brown's is fun. This is going to seem really simple. Popeye's, dude. It's hard to beat Popeye's red beans.
I went, and that should tell you enough right there. Like, you're for right. me to, I respect Red Beans.
No conversation about Red Beans is not going to include Popeye's Red Beans, for sure.
I respect it. And the cool thing about Popeye's Red Beans, you could throw it on anything else they fucking make, and it's a great combination. Throw it on chicken, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. Do you cook your own ever? Do you ever do Red Beans over there at Mayo headquarters?
Well, now that I'm fully vested in mayonnaise, I don't really get the time or finances to go get all that shit. But I will say that when I was in college, bro, I made red beans every single Sunday, and it was a certain way. You know, I used Rotel. That was my main ingredient. I used a whole can of Rotel.
Okay.
And I crocked them for like 12, 16 hours, bro, every Sunday night. And, dude, they were fucking phenomenal. I used ham hocks, too.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm all about building shit from scratch in the kitchen. But when it comes to red beans, dude, I can gimmick up some Blue Runners.
Yeah.
That'll knock your socks off. So, well, look, man.
From scratch?
Well, I mean, the Blue Runners are the Blue Runners. I'm taking the Blue Runners out the can, but I'm cooking down vegetables. I'm browning. I'm doing a lot of different things to it. They didn't come to hear us talk about being the sausage today. They came to hear two of the best names in this market talk about sports gambling. And dude, your picks are on. I look to you for college advice all the time. I try this year, especially with COVID, I am trying to stay the fuck away from college betting. It is scary out there with college betting.
I thought that was going to be the way, dude. For whatever reason, bro, I just feel like when I'm betting college football lately, it's like walking into the living room, bro. It's so comfortable. And it's really? Just because I'm going with the same teams, really, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You do still have those, but the fuckery for me is happening in the NFL. That's just my
opinion. Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll get into that because I feel more comfortable with the NFL and certain teams. My picks of the pod went 3-3 last week. We're 35-22 overall NFL on this pod, so 62.8%. That's something that I'm happy with. And we built a lot of that taking overs early on in the season when I think that the refs were having a hard time catching up.
Yeah, no, I think that's my bad, man. I think that's really good for NFL. You know, 35-22. That's something to definitely tip your hat on for sure.
Well, let's see. The whole idea here is we hang out, we talk shit, we have fun, we pick the games, and I'm ready to get rolling through it. Are you ready to pick some games with me?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Okay, there's only one rule, by the way. We don't take unders here.
Yeah, I don't take them either.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. Dude, if you take unders, I can't. I'm like, we can't. We
You've
can't really
never vote. Seen me take it. Dude, I promise
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't so want funny. To. Yeah. It's a personality. If you're taking unders, we got a problem.
What's the deal with why is it like that though? Like, why do we want to take overs so much?
Because we want to watch scoring. We don't want to watch people not score. You know? I mean, we don't want to go, oh fuck, they called pass interference and I'm pissed off. You're like, fuck yeah, they called pass interference. Like we're heading towards the end zone, you know?
Right.
So yeah, no, I mean, I guess if you really it got a hard on for defense, you'd take unders, but that's not how it works, you know.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we're gonna start with tomorrow Thanksgiving. Recording this on Wednesday. All news, all lines are current as of Wednesday. I typically lean on William Hill as the book of choice for getting these lines because we do have a big international audience, and William Hill is the largest international bookmaker out there. Houston, Detroit, kicking off Thanksgiving tradition. Houston is 3-point favorites on the road in Detroit. Over under on this game is 51.5. Deshaun Watson is reigning AFC Offensive Player of the Week, coming off last week's performance. Detroit is going to have Stafford playing on Thanksgiving Thursday. Man, personally, I'm staying away from this game. I got nothing for it. I might throw a prop out there on Thursday morning just as the turkey's cooling down. But I've got nothing for this. I think I'm going to lay off over under 51.5. I think they can. I think they can catch that. But as we talked about earlier, there's teams that we're familiar with, and we try to stay in our lane. Houston and Detroit are two teams that are kind of like rattlesnakes this year, man. I ain't handling them.
I could see that game going, and I hate to say it after we just talked about those overs like that. I could see that game going fucking 26-10, 26-9. You know, so one of those teams is going to have a bad game. That's what I'm thinking. And if I'm talking props, I'm going to Deshaun Watson like I usually do because he has been playing really, really good football.
Yeah, and they're going to peg his TDs, you know, at 2.5, and he'll have decent yardage and decent completions. And that's – I'll probably either throw a prop on him or throw a prop on one of the wide receivers, Fuller, one of the other guys.
Oh, yeah, and I've been doing props on Cooks, and he's been hitting them the last, I believe, 2-3 weeks. But I actually did touch this game, bro, and I took Houston by 3. I want to say okay. I locked it in that. Yeah.
Good deal. Good deal. Y'all gonna get like Devin is probably our best picker we've had on the show yet. So you're gonna get some actual good plays even when I don't have them. Afternoon Thanksgiving game, Washington football team on the road at Dallas. Dallas is currently a 3-point favorite. Over under on this game is 46. We got the Red Rocket at quarterback in Dallas. We got Ezekiel Elliott. Washington football team, look, their defense is pretty legit. They murdered Joe Burrow last week, which is fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning Dallas on this one, and I'll probably end up pulling the trigger. But Devin, what's your thoughts on Washington football?
I wouldn't touch that game with your dick.
Okay, see, there you go. Right.
Just because, man, every time I've been going against Washington or even just messing with Washington, I can't do it, man. Because how many people picked Cincinnati last week? I did.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I did. Yep. Oh, I did. I did. Yeah. And when you pick on Dallas, and I'd say I would lean Dallas, but you pick Dallas and you start to watch the game as all these asshole Cowboys fans do, and you start to feel their pain, you know, because Dallas will do some bullshit.
Zeke will fumble twice. Fuck that.
Yeah. They'll do some horse shit on there. Now, the late Thanksgiving, the Thursday evening Thanksgiving game has been moved to Sunday. And this game has been popping on and off the boards. I caught it yesterday, and I locked it in at Pittsburgh -4 at home with Baltimore. Of course, the line on this one is 40. The over-under is 45. I locked in Pittsburgh at -4. I had in my head when this game wasn't on the board that as long as the spread wasn't double digits, I was taking Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. I took them double digits by 10.5 last week. And you had all kinds of space cadets coming out there saying that Jacksonville was going to even potentially win. And no, dude. And especially in this Baltimore game, I just don't believe in Baltimore's offense. I think it's getting exposed.
They have been exposed is the exact word that I was going to use. They've been found out. I've been watching Baltimore. You know, 2 weeks ago when New England just fucking ran on, they're like, we're just going to run on you and you're not going to stop us. And we're New England. You know, we got Cam Newton over here with his mental illness and he don't even want to play football. And Baltimore still loses to that team in a weather game. Last week, Baltimore was not inspiring at all. I mean, this seems like one of those too good to be true ones. Like this, I am as heavy on this game as can be.
I think the only thing that could change it is if like something and it happens all the time. If like Big Ben went out or some shit like that, you know, I don't think Pittsburgh is going to fail in this one, bro. I think if any of the trap games should have been a trap game, it should have been last week, but it wasn't. They completely blew Jacksonville out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So getting into the, Sunday morning early games. We've got Vegas. Vegas is going to be a 3-point favorite over the failed cons of Atlanta. Atlanta over under on this game is 55.5. I've been looking at Vegas. I've been rolling with Vegas a little bit all year. Matt Ryan looked like he's done last week.
Yeah, I mean, dude, but that Saints D-line, I don't know, bro. I don't know if
they'll put it on people.
Yeah, I don't know if I could touch this game. I think I would maybe consider that over.
Yeah, that could happen, especially depending on the health of Julio Jones. It was one of those. They looked like a different team without Julio in there last week.
Yeah, and then the Raiders have been forcing turnovers, dude. So
yes.
I don't know, man, because Derek Carr's the type of guy he could come out and lay an egg, but he's been playing really good football.
He's been playing good. He's got that freak tight end and Waller. I don't know. Vegas, it's one of those teams, like, I caught their I caught their season when they were on Hard Knocks a couple years ago, right, on HBO. It's like certain teams, and once you do that, it's like they seem like this band of misfits. You got fucking Hunter Renfrow as your starting wide receiver. The guy's like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
It's like Gruden's overachieving or something with that team.
Dude, that was such a corny ass series of Hard Knocks. I'm sorry, dude, because the whole fucking Gruden and Antonio Brown thing, like, dude, you knew fucking Gruden was ready to blow up every time he talked to Antonio, dude.
Well, it's like they had Antonio Brown for that, and they didn't do anything with it. You have fucking madman on Hard Knocks, and they really did nothing with it that whole time.
Yeah, dude, when he went over to Derek Carr's house and played pitch and catch, I was like, this shit's so fucking phony, bro. Like, how there's no way that these guys are pals.
No, and on the way to Derek Carr's house, it was like fucking Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You know? He's running over civilians and hitting mailboxes and doing
Dude, I tell you what, though. I will say this about Antonio, man. Like, watching him play in Tampa, like, all bias aside, like, dude, he still goes and gets it, bro. He's such a great football player. Like, he really is. But he just, nobody will ever forget that era of Antonio.
No, and he's one of those passionate human beings. Yeah, he just wants to roll life hard. He's like RIP. We got the news just before the show. Diego Maradona died.
Oh,
right? 60 years old. I'm a little bit of a soccer fan, man, and I've been watching soccer for a while and international soccer and all that. Dude, Maradona was a maniac.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I sat next to a guy at the car dealership for 5 years. He was from Argentina, okay? And that was their guy, bro.
Yes.
Maradona. The first guy I texted this morning was Gabe, and I was like, "Gabe, dude, you heard about Diego?" And he didn't, and it was sad, dude. It was just, yeah.
Well, he had like brain surgery or something 2 weeks ago, yeah. and they were like, "This dude won't stop drinking and like hitting rails while he's in the hospital following brain surgery. Like, we don't know what to do. Like, we can't release him. We can't let him go home because if he goes home, he's just gonna hit it harder."
Bro, all right, if Diego, and you know Diego went the hardest in the Kane game, if he lived till 60 with his bad habits,
I feel
phenomenal, bro.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, no, I'm optimistic on me catching the over, which I have no business catching the over in life, but I think I will.
I'll over that all day, bro.
Right. We got Arizona is 2.5-point favorites on the road in New England. Over-under on this game is 49.5. God, I hope the weather is not atrocious for this game, because I'm one of those that was flocking to Arizona early in the season, and then you kind of saw them come back to earth, and I've laid off and kind of watched them close. But, dude, I don't – in a fair weather game, I don't think New England can keep up with this team. I don't think broken Cam Newton can keep up with Arizona. So I really, really, really like Arizona -2.5 on this game. What's your thoughts?
That's the initial thought. I haven't done anything with it yet, but I don't know, man. The only thing that scares me about it is I don't necessarily like, and I don't know why, I don't like Kyler Murray against Stephon Gilmore. And that, I don't know. It's just something about that. Like, if Gilmore locks down DeAndre Hopkins, right? And Kyler Murray's running for his life. Let's just say, you know, the Patriots D-line shows up for one game. I don't know. Something about that game, I'm just kind of, like, waiting right now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's smart to wait because, like I said, the weather's going to have such a huge impact. And the week that 2 weeks ago when New England beat Baltimore, I loaded up on Baltimore. They ended up crushing my weekend. And
I bet New England that week.
It all came down to the weather. But that was a good bet because they handle business. New York Giants, 5.5-point favorites on the road, taking on Cincinnati. Cincinnati announced today that Brandon Allen is going to be the quarterback who fills the shoes of Joe Burrow. I've actually had some success with the Giants this year. The over-under on this game is 42.5. I don't know about taking the Giants 5.5-point favorites, but you've got to start thinking that Cincinnati is just – their spirit's broken. I mean, Joe Burrow was doing it all for those guys.
Right. I would take the Giants. What is the money line?
I can tell you the money line on this game is going to be,
if it's anything under 200, or, you know, I'm taking the Giants. I would not, I don't know, I would maybe buy down some points on that spread. I do love Daniel Jones in any rushing yard prop that they ever put on there, ever. Like, he is hitting his rushing yard props like it's nobody's business. Seriously, same thing with Russell Wilson. Same thing with, Cam Newton, but sometimes he misses his.
Yeah.
50% with him.
I went all against the night that Cam Newton played the Jets. I bet every prop against Cam that you could, and he lit my ass up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, well, I think history said that he had some rough games against the Jets.
Well, yeah, and he it was like over under 22 completions, and he was like just doing little dinking and dunking 4 yards all game. I mean, that was a game he threw like his over under on yards was like 218, and he threw for well more than that. I mean, I don't know, man. Cam and I have a complicated relationship.
That was the game that Flacco went off. Am I correct?
Well, it depends on what you consider. Yeah, he went off in the first half.
Yes.
Yeah. In the second half, they're up by 10. There's like 7 minutes remaining. It's second down. It's like, fuck it. I'm throwing a bomb in triple coverage no matter what. I don't care. Oh, there's four guys waiting for it? No, I mean, this is what I'm going to do right now. You know, I am definitely doing that. The money line on the Giants is minus 265.
Okay, maybe. I don't know, man. I would hate to like bet like a lot of my on that money line. You know,
you hate just to get heavy on the Giants.
Yeah, I'm not getting heavy.
You don't get heavy on any NFC East team this year.
No,
it breaks the spirit. Sounds like we're both open on that one. Now you got Cleveland is going to be a 7-point favorite on the road in Jacksonville.
Oh my god,
49 is the over under. Late breaking news out of Jacksonville as of Wednesday is Mike Glennon is going to be the quarterback for Jacksonville now. The Minshew mania is over. Jake Futon is done. And they're like, eh, fuck it, Mike Glennon.
Yeah, I was shocked. I couldn't fucking believe it because I hadn't known that he was playing football still.
Well, he hasn't since like 2017.
Okay, yeah, with the Bears, right?
Is that right, with the Bears. That was his last start. Yeah. Dude,
Minshew is Minshew hurt?
No,
still?
They just said he went from being our next savior to fuck him. Said.
That's fucked up, man.
It's insane.
I gotta go Minshew all day, like, dude. Like, the Minshew advocacy should be the same as like the Baker advocacy. Baker's had some rough games. You still got to throw him in there, bro. I'm sorry, man. Baker, he's just a competitor. I guess Minshew maybe ain't a competitor. I don't fucking know. But
dude, he might have fucked an assistant coach's wife or something. I mean, yeah. They set his ass in the corner.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be a better option than Mike Glennon.
Has to be.
And now I feel better about this game. Now, in fact, I'm gonna throw this. I've got a teaser that I'm putting together. Little 6.5-point teaser, and I want to tease Cleveland down to 0.5, and I'm all in it now. Shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Cleveland by 6.5. I'll buy it down for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna tease that. I'm gonna do a 6.5-point teaser. Get that one at 0.5, and throw that in with a couple others that I already identified that we'll get to here in a second. Carolina on the road taking on Minnesota -4. The over under on this game is 48.5. We talked earlier about teams like this. These are motherfucking rattlesnakes, dude. These two teams are so unpredictable week in to week out. What are your thoughts?
I think that Minnesota is the biggest fucking flakes in the league. Just because, yeah. Dude, they constantly are the team for me that determines everything, bro. Like I don't know why I find myself and I go look at my sheet and I'm like, oh my god, dude. I picked Minnesota 4 fucking times in different ways, and I didn't even realize it, but they constantly – it's constantly like that because they get matchups like this, okay? And a 4-point spread against Carolina, you don't even know if McCaffrey's playing or not, okay?
Right.
Anything on paper, anything on television, anything – I don't care where you see it. If you would take Minnesota in this game. You have to because
yeah. –
They got the run game. Dalvin Cook is incredible. They got great receivers. They can get 100 yards from either Jefferson or Thielen. Kirk Cousins can throw for 350 yards, but Kirk Cousins can throw for 350. Okay, have three interceptions in the first half, and it's just like, oh, why, man? Like, so I'm taking, with all that being said, I'm taking Minnesota.
You're Buffalo. Taking Minnesota. You're, dude, I love it. I love having a gambler on this show, dude, because you're like, fuck it. I'm like, you, I love, because I'll do the same thing. I'll give every reason in the world not to pick a game. And then you go, guess what, motherfucker? Dick's out. Here we go.
Because, dude, honestly, man, like there's nothing in me that tells me to pick Carolina, bro. And I keep, but Carolina's been a team that I've bet against all year in the NFL, and they've burnt me.
Well, you know what? As you were sitting there talking, this unheavenly creature came to me and said, take the over.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking, dude, 48 and a half?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Fuck. Yeah, fuck yeah, 48 and a half. I don't have any overs on the early games. I got to have somebody to root for scoring-wise. Tennessee on the road, taking on Indy. This is a rematch of, a Thursday night game from about 3-4 weeks ago. Indy is 3.5-point home favorites. The over-under on this game is 51. Devin, what are your thoughts on Tennessee-Indy?
I would say no comment on the over-under. And just because I'm thinking that over most likely wouldn't happen unless, right, you know, Tennessee's defense didn't come to play whatsoever and Phillip Rivers had a field day. Dude, I've bet on against the Colts all year long and I've been torched by them. And again, I have to, because I bet for Tennessee last week and they hit the upset. I'm taking Tennessee again, bro. Derrick Henry's the best running back in football, period. Okay, he did a straight walk-off touchdown in overtime last week. It was no problem whatsoever. I got to take Tennessee, man. Until Tannehill turns into an absolute shit show, which he hasn't in 2 years.
Right. Well, and this is their time of year. You know what I mean? I find that this is a weird thing about me and watching football and picking. I'm always so influenced by the previous year's playoffs, right? The season preceding coming in. Yeah. And I remember this year in January, I was up in the Memphis area for work, and I would go and watch all the games on Saturday and Sunday at the casino sports books in Tunica.
Okay. Yeah.
And bro, just the lasting image is just Derrick Henry sodomizing motherfuckers.
It's nasty.
And that's a hard image to get out of your head too. And so when they take on an Indy, didn't Indy win their first matchup?
Yeah, Indy has played so good this year, like as far as like definitely against the spread, because I know that this is the first time in a long time that they've been favorites by more than three.
Yeah, they were favorites by one when they played Tennessee last time and won 34-17. Yep. They were 1.5-point favorites with Green Bay. I mean, it's...
Everybody went against them on Green Bay, and I'm gonna tell you right now, man, they took that one down in the last second to say fuck you.
Oh yeah, and that's one of those NFL game of the weeks, dude. Hairy shit happens when Troy Aikman and old hair plugs are in the building.
Yep,
some fuckery is afoot.
I cannot stand listening to them longer than the intro when they introduce themselves, and I find out, oh fuck, this is gonna be 3.5 hours of this shit.
These pompous ass, yeah.
I can't stand when Troy Aikman gets in that whole, oh, I think he's hurt mood. Because when he thinks somebody's hurt, he'll talk about it for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he dissected. Now, when we played the Bears, when the Saints played the Bears, he dissected the Bears.
Dude, it was so much. It was so much. He could not stop talking about it.
Well, and it's almost like if you're a Bears fan, you're almost like, hey, man, like that's our... Like that's our special needs little cousin over in the corner. Like, you don't get to talk about him like that.
The best part of his whole spiel was he was set. And I remember that game like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Troy Aikman was set on putting Mitch Trubisky in the game full time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He was set on it. Okay. Yeah. Little did Troy know was that Mitch Trubisky went in one play early in the game, and it was on like some type of quarterback sweep. He got hurt.
Right. He was injured. And he's been injured since.
He came back.
All right, we got Los Angeles Chargers. This is an early game, too, which means they're traveling to Buffalo. And Buffalo, 5.5-point favorites. We got a 53.5-point over-under on this game. I've been riding with Buffalo all year. I feel like Buffalo is a real football team, but I would be inclined to take the Chargers here because the Chargers aren't going to lose this game by more than three.
Yeah, I think I'm with the Chargers plus – it's 5.5.
5.5.
Yeah, I think I'm good with that.
Yeah, the Chargers are just – I mean, fuck. Is anybody not as bad as their record? It's definitely the Chargers.
Yeah, and honestly, man, Buffalo started hot as piss, and I just feel like I got on the Buffalo wagon a little too late, and they kind of been letting me down when I bet on them.
Yeah, they I feel like they're a team that's going to be real, real legit come January.
I love Josh Allen. He's – I mean, every time I put on a TV, he's – dude, he's so, like, viciously powerful for a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, leaning Chargers here. We're getting to the Sunday afternoon games. Miami on the road, taking on the Jets at that field that just destroys people all by itself. Miami is 7-point favorites. The over-under on this game is 45.5. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to tease this game as well. So I'm going to tease Miami from -7 down to -0.5. Do a 6.5-point teaser on that. And I'm going to pair that with that teaser I did earlier on Cleveland and Jacksonville. I've been riding with the Dolphins are bad to the bone.
Yeah, and the only time I ever picked against the Dolphins was last week. That was the first time that I ever picked against the Dolphins.
That was the time to do it.
And I would say that you're absolutely right. 6.5 is probably what I'm going to lay down on the Dolphins right there. So and I usually what I do is I do all my straights just so I protect my broke ass.
Right.
And then from there, I start looking at, like, parlays and teasers and stuff like that.
People will talk about teasers as if it's a sucker bet. That you talk to any old gambling dude, and they're going to tell you that it's a sucker bet. I don't feel that way. Now, maybe I'm the sucker, but I don't feel that way. No. You know?
I think people hit on – don't get me wrong. I do hear a lot of young people always talking about teasers.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I still think that they hit them all the time.
Oh, yeah. I've got my guy will do 13-point teasers. But the rule is you got to do a minimum of – you got to do 4 games.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's like I can find 3 that you know are going to – especially when you're teasing over and unders and all too.
Right.
It's like that 4th game. And, of course, it doesn't – it's like a -155 bet. Bro, there's no worse feeling than laying something heavy on a 13-point teaser and missing one of those.
Oh, dude.
You're like a real asshole.
Yeah, no, that shit will piss me off.
All right, this is a big one here. Our beloved New Orleans Saints are a 3:05 kickoff, and they are 6-point road favorites taking on Denver, who allegedly we haven't beaten a long time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they robbed us the last time. It's all right.
Yeah. The over-under on this game is 43.5, which in fair weather, it feels low. We don't know what we're going to get in Denver come Sunday. There's such a weird balance here with betting on the Saints in that it's the team that obviously we're most knowledgeable, right? Mm-hmm. We know the most about the Saints. But then your own bias comes in, too. And then you take the Saints -6 and they win by 4 and you're pissed off.
Right.
You know, what's your approach to picking Saints?
I've not picked the Saints in my wages a whole lot. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, maybe probably about half of my, you know, since the year started, maybe half the time I picked the Saints. I picked them in various different ways and I've always looked at it really hard. I'm sorry. Just because, like, I went through that whole, just like many, that whole phase of always wagering on the Saints. And this is not the city, and it makes sense. This ain't the city or the team to, you know, think that it's going to go down like that every time, because it's just not that way, man.
Right.
So, yeah, and especially with the Saints, dude, because there's always so much that happens. Let's just be honest. You got injuries with the Saints, like, every week. Like,
yeah.
Every
week. I would take that same thing. See, I see these dudes, like, when you're waiting in line at the sports book, I see these same dudes like that with LSU. they like to play LSU like they ain't another fucking game on all weekend, and they just hell no. Like Coach O seemed like he was hell bent on covering last year. Now he had a historically good team, so that helps.
Right.
But dude, why would you put yourself through that?
Yeah, no, I would. Dude, last week, man, you know, that was easy. That was easy.
Oh, yeah, that was easy money last week. When you really set back and you go, whoa, this team is 3.5 points to the Falcons? The fuck is wrong with you? Of course. Right?
That was easy. LSU was, I thought picking that game was pretty easy as well. Just because, man, I don't know. I just felt like it's still LSU, right?
Right.
It's still that, you know, you can't. Just like right now, dude, they have 14-point dog.
Yes, to again, Arkansas.
To
A&M. Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, man. All right, let me just let the day go by on this one real quick, and then I'm like,
sleep on it.
Yeah, because that's wild. But I'd say for sure, man. If ever week, and I know that the Saints have struggled against the Broncos, but look at the games they got the ass kicked. One of them, Peyton Manning was the quarterback, and it was a primetime game. They whooped the Saints' ass. I remember it. And then the other one was in a dome. It was a few years ago.
Yep.
And that motherfucker stepped out of bounds. Like,
yep. With his white shoes on.
So, I mean, dude, you put Drew Lock. It's another thing. I have watched Drew Lock the entire year because I'm a fan of Drew Lock. Drew Lock is not going to have a good game against the Saints, did
he? No, that defensive line is going to eat his ass up.
You're going to eat him up.
Right. And then you go, is Taysom just going to do a Taysom thing? If he has another week like this, he's already kind of. I saw Steve Young call Taysom Hill the next Steve Young the other night on Monday Night Countdown, and I was a little bit stoned, so I wasn't sure. Like, I'm like, did I just hear that? And I had to rewind, and he did.
Yeah, I mean, dude, look, I think Steve Young, if he's saying that, he's definitely thinking in his head as well. It's also because of Sean Payton. Sean Payton is the so saving grace to Taysom Hill being anything. As far as a passer, like, we don't know what's going on with that, bro.
Yeah, but I know you and I feel the same way, because I've seen you say this on Twitter, and this is something that we even say in our own Dome Patrol WhatsApp chat. What's up with Sean Payton in these first drives? I know it's. I mean, I know the answer. He's got his first 20 plays scripted or whatever, but he's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's got to stop doing that, bro. And I'm not trying to be the. You know, the common man that yells at Sean Payton, man, I'm just simply saying, if you look at if what's going on in the playoffs, that's what gets us down in the playoffs. That.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're with it. And please, let's not see that this year. I'll tell you what I'm doing with this game. This is going to be the third part of my teaser, that 6.5-point teaser I was talking about. I'm going to tease that over under from 43.5 down to 37.
Okay.
Because I feel good about that, so we'll do that. That's going to be one of my official picks. But you're gonna take New Orleans with six. You can stay away. What you think?
I'm gonna take the Saints by six, dude. I don't think this is the trap game or anything like that. I think Drew Lock's gonna get manhandled, bro. And then also keep in mind Emmanuel Sanders coming back to play Denver. Okay. Also keep this in mind as well. Any of those props, they should still be pretty. Like Taysom's gonna go up a little bit, man. Yeah. I would ride some Saints props on that game, man. I gotta look at them, but I would ride them.
Did you see? Did you even see a Taysom rushing bet prop last week?
No, it wasn't on the table.
Right, I didn't either. I don't know. I mean, but I didn't look at I don't have FanDuel unless I physically go to the IP. But where I see props, I didn't see a single Taysom rushing prop. Like I said, I heard people out there talking about them after the fact. Now, you don't know how real that is, but I'm curious to see what the Taysom props look like this week as well. I had the biggest fucking prop fail in the world. I picked Kamara, like, over whatever, 43 receiving yards, and for some reason they didn't. And then I love my favorite thing that I do is I will justify. I'll give you the reason why this bet's going to hit, and then nothing of the fucking sort happens, and you look like an asshole.
Just make sure you're talking about another bet by the time that happens.
Right. Exactly. Oh, there you go. That's what we need to do. Absolutely. All right. San Francisco on the road. LA Rams, 7-point favorites at home, 45.5. These are two good young coaches. San Francisco is like left dead on the side of the road. But these two teams always seem to get some crazy shit cooking when they get together. What's your thoughts on the Rams?
I think that's a good point, man. Never forget about Kyle Shanahan, dude. Seriously, bro. Because that offense he runs, just incredible, man. It gives the Saints problems every single time.
Yeah,
So I'd be willing to say I don't think it's far-fetched for San Francisco to cover. I'll probably stay away from this game, but I don't think that it'll be far-fetched for San Francisco to cover 7, bro. Because historically, like you said, these teams, it don't matter who's playing, who's not playing, they still always, it's always a close battle.
And I think a lot of that comes down to coaching. I mean, they do it. All right, this next afternoon game is one of my big plays of the week. And this, tell me where I'm wrong here, because this feels like theft. And I've stayed away from Kansas City all year. I've not been fucking with Kansas City. But now feels like the time to pull the trigger, because Kansas City is 3.5-point favorites on the road taking on the Tampa Toms. Now, the reason why I am so big on KC here is I feel like this is one of those big flags that pops up that goes, pick me, pick me, pick me. It feels like a 3.5-point line here is based on bias and just hype relative to Tampa Tom, because I'm really starting to think, especially after watching last week, that they're not all that. That Tampa is not all there.
I agree. I don't think that they're all that. I don't. I think that they'll still make the playoffs, but I don't know, man. I have bet on KC. They don't cover all the time, bro.
No.
It's a feel-good bet, man. You always want to bet on Mahomes. I always go look at Mahomes props and all that shit. But, man, they don't always cover, bro. Tom Brady is pissed the fuck off right now, dude. Like, it's getting bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not controlling his body language and emotions and language on the sidelines.
I think that, and then looking at Kansas City, you know, their secondary, it's decent. You know, Kansas City got decent secondary. They still give up a lot of yards. I would expect those three receivers to go off that game. It's going to be a shootout. What's the over?
55.5.
I'm taking it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. Take that over. I got this one locked in at KC -3. I was able to buy it at -3.
And
I
that's went, good.
I went as heavy as anything that I've gone in. I think I put something like would be the equivalent of 5 units if my units are $20. So, yeah, I'm all about that one. I feel fortunate. I feel like I got a PS5, you know, getting that one at -3.
I'll probably oppose you, man. I'll probably lock in Tampa. Yeah,
that'll be fun. Okay, that's something. That's curious, because like I said, I wanted to hear you. I was really excited to hear your thoughts on that, and now you got me down.
I could just see it, man. I could just see like Antonio Brown and all those and Mike Evans and Gronk. It's gonna be a shootout, but I really, man, I don't think that things work out that easy for the Saints as well. There's no way that Tampa Bay just starts losing a ton, you know?
Prior to Baltimore-Pittsburgh being moved to Sunday afternoon, which is right now they're saying that game's going to be Sunday afternoon. They don't know what network. This game was supposed to be the game of the week. This was going to be your big televised. And, dude, if you've listened to the show, you've heard me say it before. Tampa Tom, national game, 3rd and 11, incomplete pass. And you just count 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi. By 3 Mississippi, you're going to see the flag.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, somebody was checking the oil on the tight end. You know, like whatever it is, dude. They just find a way. You can't tell me this league isn't crooked. You can't tell me this league isn't fixed. And they are not financially motivated to make Tampa Tom a real thing.
Well, they're definitely financially motivated when it comes to deciding which game is the – game of the week and all that shit. I'm telling you, man, it's what they want. It's not right. Anything that they don't look at the ratings all the time. I go look at the ratings almost every week, and the Saints are usually in that top 5, whoever they playing, you know. Oh, yeah. So it's whatever, man. They look, they've always displayed the Cowboys, even when the Cowboys, which is all the time, are trash cans. They always want to show the Cowboys. They always want to show what's the other team that they always fucking put on the air. Philly. Always got Philly in primetime. Philly sucks.
You know what I think the Philly thing is? And this is a short story. when I first started playing Madden online when I was a kid, you know,
yeah.
Like I said, I probably got about a dozen years on you. So when I say I was a kid, I was like in grad school and I was playing Madden online for the first time. I like it came to the realization. It's like, oh, it feels like 2/3 of the fucking country lives in Philly, like within 150 miles of Philly. Yeah,
dude. And I tell you what, man, there's one place I probably wouldn't go to a road game just because I know that my personality would not mix well with their personality.
Oh, God, man.
Well, I would have to roll with 20 people, bro, and we know it, right?
That'd be a nightmare. That'd be an absolute nightmare. That sounds like so fun. But I'm just antisocial in general now, dude. I've moved out to the country. I've turned into the Mississippi hippie. Yeah. I don't want to fucking see people. I don't want to talk to people. I'm out here, bro, doing my thing remotely.
I think that's one of my best talents, man, that I live in New Orleans and I don't fuck with anybody. Like, how does that even happen? I don't know.
That's a skill. That is a talent for sure. Absolutely got to be a talent. All right, Chicago. Green Bay, this is Sunday night. Green Bay is 8.5-point favorites. The over-under on this game is 45. It was 8.5 yesterday. Let's see what it's moved to, because I got a feeling.
Fucked.
That does. I feel like assholes have probably even moved this line even further from.
And they only score like 5 more points than that total between two teams. Dude, it's crazy that they would do that against the Bears.
It's still 8.5. It's 8.5 points. I'm gonna do something else Sunday night.
Yeah. I would not touch that game.
I'm gonna read a book. You know, I'm gonna take my daughter to the dollar store or something. You know, like we're not watching Chicago Green Bay. I can't do it. Collinsworth.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I would stay far away from that game. And I wouldn't even touch the under either because Aaron Rodgers will most likely probably just fucking torch.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Monday night, Seattle, 6-point favorites over Philly at home. And it feels like the world has turned and left Carson Wentz here just where he was probably when he was like 8 years old. Like, this motherfucker, he's done. Like, what happened to Carson Wentz?
I don't know, man. I do remember that one year that he was just going off and then he got hurt. And I never really had a problem with Carson Wentz, and I don't have a problem with him now. But I'm just saying, like, golly, man, trash can, bro. Like, you can't even bet on Philly no more when they playing the Giants, when they playing the Redskins, you can't bet on them no more because of Carson Wentz.
You think Seattle covers?
Absolutely.
You think Seattle covers on Monday night?
No doubt about it. They'll beat them by 7 points. Like, no doubt.
That line, dude, William Hill's got that line at 5 now, okay. Which I feel even better about.
Yeah,
William Hill's got that line at 5. That's pretty solid. That's pretty solid. You talked me into it.
Yeah, I think
how am I going to not bet on Monday Night Football?
And then that relationship between Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf, man, dude, that shit is fucking booming, bro. Like them dudes really do go off every week.
Yeah, they do. Oh yeah, and he had a horrible game. He'd had two big drops last week. His prop didn't cover last week on yardage, but and he's another one of those guys I talked about, that January bias team guys that. The imprint that watching a team in the playoffs the previous January leaves on me. DK Metcalf's coming out party was in January in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when everybody anointed him the next big thing. And he's legit. And he's the kind of guy, he's a team leader. You want him on your sideline. I saw him, you know, high-fiving defensive players coming off the field last week. He's, you know, he's one of those kind of foundational players to a franchise. And so I feel like we've talked Seattle going to whoop that ass to death. Look, man, we're at the end of the slate for the week. I got to tell you, it's been an absolute privilege to have you on. I couldn't be, as far as going outside and looking for the first guest to get on this show, this is a young show. You didn't have to commit to coming on, you know, but you did. And I know we've grabbed a little more of your time than we probably should have. But I want to... I want to thank you, and I want to ask you if you have any final thoughts, anything you want to make sure that we cover before we get out of here today.
No, man. I mean, I got a few things, but first, I do appreciate it, man. And it's not an issue whatsoever, bro. Like, I believe in, like, the community. You know what I'm saying? And,
oh, yeah.
And dudes thriving. You know, I don't believe in, like, pushy, aggressive, like, share this. I don't like that shit. So, like, if you just hit me up and ask me to come on the show, bro, I'm cool with it. Like, as long as there's no, like, fucking, you know, strings attached, I'm good, bro.
Like, you have to put on this clown outfit.
Yeah, I always got it, like, you know, grab somebody's ass cheek sometimes. That's why I usually don't do it. So, but this has been awesome. And this is what I like to talk about. And the only thing I'd say, man, you know, I heard you say you're talking about UFC. Or we mentioned.
Ooh,
it
was, yeah.
I cannot get on a consistent. And I watch fighting like so much, bro. Like, I go to sleep at night, you know, with YouTube playing the fights and stuff. That
right.
And fighters that are fighting that weekend, just so I could see what's up. Bro, I cannot get no consistency with UFC.
Okay, I got to ask you a question. All right, let's figure this out. You're knowledgeable, obviously. And you've shown, like, as we were talking about the games today, you have the discipline to lay off in football if it's not there, right?
Right.
Do you do that with UFC? Are you willing to lay off on one? Like, if you don't feel comfortable and you walk in the room, college football's on, you're in your comfort zone. Can you say that about these UFC fights?
It's getting better.
Because I'll go whole cards. Yeah, that I won't do shit.
Okay, right. Every time. Yeah.
Every time. I'll go entire this event, this next event coming up. I don't want any part of it. But like this past card, for example. Okay. Mike Perry.
Right.
Comes in 5 pounds overweight.
And against him all day.
Dude, he's like, you know, if it gets to the cards, you know it's going against him because he's turned into like some kind of white supremacist or asshole or something. Like he's picking fights at Piccadilly's or some shit. Like he's
Nobody likes him, right? Yeah,
he's like punching old dudes at bars. He's everything bad. You know if it gets to the cards, Dana's gonna have an influence on that. He shows up 5 pounds overweight. Now normally you'd go, oh, that's to his advantage. No. And then it's funny because I'd already placed a bet. I'd already placed one bet against him with Tim Means. Mm-hmm. And then I went and I looked at his fucking Mike Perry's Twitter, and 24 hours before he's about to step in a cage with another human being, the man is talking about quitting the sport. Yeah. We have a mutual friend, right? We have a mutual friend. And I said, dude, I texted him and I was like, get on it now. There was like 7 minutes to the cage because I went back and it was even odds.
Yeah.
It was even odds when I went back for the second bet, and we use a similar source. And I said, dude, get in now. And he's like, not even, he's like, all right, I take your word. And I mean, it was 29-28, 30-27. Honestly, Perry, I mean, if judges were different, he could have even, you could make some arguments. I'm not saying he won the fight, but crooked ass judges could have given the fight.
Well,
because it's Mike Perry, you know he's not.
He had some, his punch, look, the guy that he fought, Tim Means, he had a nice jab going the whole way. It was beautiful, actually. It was fucking him up. But that was really kind of it, you know? Mike Perry was when he did connect.
Oh, yeah.
Look, man, here's the deal, though. You got all that shit circulating around you, bro. That shit is in people's heads, even the judges and stuff, bro.
Right.
So now they looking at you fighting like you just came off the couch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They looking at that shit, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That was easy money.
That one was easy. And then the other one that I had success with was the women's fight and the women's championship, Shevchenko versus was it Maya. And I hate to say this. This is not trying to sound – I love women's fighting, but it's like neither of these young ladies are capable of – hurting the other one instantly and profoundly in a way that's going to put them to sleep or break a limb. And so over 2.5, this one's going to decision all day, and we know it's going at least over half the fight. So over 2.5 rounds there, heavy, and that cleaned up too. But it's like, I don't, there's so many that I don't do.
Yeah, I see, I can't, for whatever reason, man, I can't bet many decisions. It's not fun for me. Like, no, so I just don't, that's what's been probably fucking me. Cause you know, but also at the same time, there's only one woman, and I'm dead ass serious. I don't care what anybody says. There's only one woman in that sport right now that can literally just, it don't matter who you put in front of her, she's gonna knock out. It's Amanda Nunes, and yes. I don't know why they don't get that. And it was clearly like a marketing technique to do this with Shevchenko, because she is not even half of what Amanda Nunes is, bro. She's very skilled. She's nifty. Blah blah blah. She ain't doing what Amanda Nunes is doing, bro. Like, it's crazy.
And guess what? You're not going to see until that Shevchenko cow is out of milk. You're not going to see her in a cage with Nunes. Even though weight, that, you know, women's weight classes, look, you can get them in the same. You want to make a super fight, a women's super fight, Nunes Shevchenko? They could do that. They could do that next month. But you're not going to see it until that cow has been milked completely.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't want that. That's not what he wants. Because think about it, man. If you were Dana White, you want the star in each division. And you want to just ride that as long as you can. But I don't know, man. I just feel like the women's division was awesome at one point, and now it's like Amanda Nunes is pregnant. Now we got to lean on Shevchenko being and it's just not doing it for me, bro. I bet Shevchenko for the TKO and stuff. Man, fuck that.
I'll tell you, there's a fight Saturday night that I have not yet seen a line on it anywhere. I have not seen it available. You got Tyson. And Roy Jones Jr. Saturday night.
Oh, I watched that documentary last night. Like something with Roy Jones Jr. on YouTube.
If let's say hypothetical, I'm imagining at some point a line's gonna pop up and I'll have a chance to bet on it. What's your thoughts on Tyson Roy Jones Jr.?
Dude, I got Tyson like convincing. Dude, I'm not even kidding. Let that line pop up, bro, and I'm gonna be popping up, bro.
You're going Tyson?
My addiction to be hard. I'm gonna be on that Tyson. I'm gonna probably bet like $50, which is a lot for me right now.
Right.
Like, what is it gonna be? Like, what do you think it's gonna be? The odds?
Oh,
like,
god damn! I think Jones has got to be the favorite. So,
oh, I can't wait.
Full disclosure, I mean, I want Tyson to win, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think that Jones is gonna win, and I think that no humans are gonna be harmed in the filming of this event.
How many rounds is it?
Oh shit! I don't even. No, that's a good question. I don't know. It can't be more than three, right? You think they'd do it five or eight? I mean, it's boxing. I don't know. There's so many. God, that's, well, I guess we just made the case why there's not a lot on this.
Tyson, bro, I'm telling you, man. I was watching a bunch of his different training videos and stuff. That motherfucker smacks still, dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking about it last night. I was like, okay, rational, clear mind. Jones wins. Nobody gets hurt is what I think happens, right? What I want to happen is just like all of a sudden fucking, you know, just like back in the Terminator days. See, because I was like 10 years old when Tyson was murking motherfuckers, right? Yeah. And we had like the illegal chip and the satellite. We could get all the pay-per-view fights. And I just remember coming down in my undies every night, you know, when Tyson's going to fight. Because kid, you didn't know the schedule. Just every few months you pop up and it's like, oh, Tyson's fighting tonight, dude. Right. Just watch him destroy motherfuckers. That was a part of my childhood.
Yeah, dude. I watched my family, you know, didn't matter whether it was my uncle, my grandpa, whoever, they would invest money in the Tyson fights.
You're right.
And really, they'd last. The one I remember to this day was one of his last, which was the Clifford ATN fight. The guy was from
the Black Rhino. Yeah. I saw that. I watched that with the Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah.
Dude, bro. People were so speculated on Clifford ATN, like him being the guy that. Cause, yeah. Bro. Tyson knocked that clown out in 30 seconds, bro. It was nuts.
Oh, dude. I remember when he got out of prison, his first fight back out of prison, and he fought Hurricane Peter McNeely.
Okay, I think I remember
this
that.
This just can of corn white dude.
Yeah.
And I remember, and I was probably like, you know, 15, 16 years old. And I was like, they do the introductions, they do the stare down. And it's like, bro, I'm worried for this guy. Like, I'm concerned. That, you know, like, I legitimately, somebody get him out of there. He's about to get hurt.
Yeah, dude, Tyson was brutal, man. That's why
Tyson's brutal.
That's where I'm going with that right there.
All right, dude. Well, I'm gonna hope it pops up. If you see it anywhere, give me a ring. Let me know. If I see it anywhere, I'll let you know. But it hasn't popped up yet. But if it does, we'll take a look. And man, that's all that I've got. Again, thanks to our guest. Find him on Hold the Mayo. Hold the Mail on Facebook, htmsports.com, at htmsports on Twitter, at htmundressed. You can find them on pod apps at htmsports or htmundressed. Hold the Mayo, Devin Snow, hardest working man in the business. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. We'll have to do this again.
It's been a pleasure and an honor, man. And, dude, I want to shout out Kyle Gaudet as well. He's a big old teddy bear. Great guy. So, you know, it's been a pleasure and honor, man. Hit me up anytime.
All right, dude. Shout out to Kyle Godet, and we're going to see y'all on the other side later on.
All right, buddy. Hold it.